This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to 2013 from Postcard from Poprad. I've missed you all so much. Was that convincing? This is Postcard
it's
from Poprad.
2013.
It's not 2013. Shut up. You'll put me off. I'm rusty, boys and girls. I haven't sat in the studio for weeks.
It's because you've been in Britain.
Don't talk to me about that. I'm happy here. Thank you. Because I got the bug. Anyway, if you haven't, we want to say Happy New Year to you wherever you are in the world. Replay Radio, for example, or it could be Talk Radio X, it could be Audio Boo, it could be RTI, you lovely people. And wherever you're listening to us, anyway, we wish you all the best for 2013. Everything you deserve to get, we hope you get it, because that's the most important thing. Sadly, Mark's not with us this week, because I think he's still away with the children skiing, as he does annually. So
he's away with a fairy.
But anyway, we have, as per usual, the stalwart, the bloke that I don't think has ever missed a show.
I haven't, actually. No, I did one. I've missed one show. One. In how many years we've been doing the last 50 years.
It's Lee Banks, boys and girls.
Hello, everybody. Hey. Wonderful to be back in 2013. Even though it's 13-14 now.
13-14. And down under, in Queensland, it's the lovely Rachel.
Hello.
Hello. How
Queensland.
Are you?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yeah, it's Queensland, although she's never here.
Are those the fairies Mark's away with?
they're the exact ones.
So I have to ask on behalf of the loyal audience, what did you do for New Year, Rach?
I did a whole bunch of nothing. I was home in South Australia for Christmas and New Year, and I was tired by 10 o'clock. I went to sleep. I'm so boring.
No.
Were you born in South Australia, Rachel?
I was. That explains a lot to people who know South Australia.
Do you know a song about it?
No. Do you?
I do.
The joke's coming. Here comes the joke. Here comes the first joke.
No, it isn't a joke. It's a song.
Oh.
Go on.
Do you want me to perform it, Rachel, for you?
Yes,
for New Year?
Yes, please,
in
Uncle
South
Lee.
In South Australia I was born, heave away, haul away.
Oh, that shipping song.
Yeah, about South Australia.
Yeah.
Where you were born.
That's marvellous. I should really get a bit of my own history going, shouldn't I?
Well, I hope you can in a minute, because we're talking about Australia. Lee, what did you do?
What did I do? For what?
New Year.
I've no idea.
He can't remember. Must have been good then.
I think it was. I don't think there's many people falling out with me. I've noticed certain people are not talking. We went to our local hostelry.
Yeah.
It's not a hostel. Not like, you know, where you get murdered.
Wasn't the ball stall then?
No, I know my school was approved. And, and it was all right. And there's certain people blanking me on the street, so I'm not sure what's up with them. I reckon they've just forgotten that we're friends. And the rest of the people are being generally quite nice to me. The police haven't been round.
No, why?
Yeah, so it's just, I think it went all right. Andrea's still basically talking to me.
Wow.
Like, four-letter words, I think, mainly. But
that's no new news, Lee.
No, that's what I mean. So nothing really changed. I think I got away with it.
Oh, right. Well, there you go, then. That's good, then.
Yes, it was. Thank you. Thank you for asking. How was yours?
It was interesting.
Interesting?
Yes. We went to a French cafe, bistro, in Poprad.
Oh,
yay. Oh.
Yes, it was very nice. We were spoilt to death. We had our own waiter for the night, for the four of us. really, we did. It was wonderful, apart from one mistake.
What, you had to pay?
No, it wasn't. No, that wasn't that. It was the cake part, because they had this huge volume of food that just kept coming at you with champagne.
That wasn't a volume, that was a vol-au-vent.
A vol-au-vent. Which, and lots of alcohol, which I couldn't partake in because I was going to Bratislava the next day. And so they got to the, I mean, all the courses were wonderful until we got to the cake. And the cake was made with poppy seeds.
Oh dear.
If there's one thing I hate with a passion, it's poppy seeds.
You should have just got them to cook them a bit.
No, well, all I did was I took the cream off the top and the cream out the middle and just left the cake behind, and everybody was laughing at me. but then the turn, the musician, gentleman called, actually he's a really good guitarist, very good jazz guy as well, he's called Spignol Jardin.
I know him.
I know you do. Do pretend Spignol. He then starts rabbiting away in Slovak, and I'm listening to this, and he says... and I won't do it in Slovak because A, I won't do it very well, and B, nobody would understand it outside of Slovakia. He then starts saying, oh, this is for my friend over in the corner. It's a Sting track, but we're going to relabel it not an Englishman in New York, but an Englishman in Poprad. And then, then started singing it that way round. So I thanked him very much, and he said it was for his friend. So I said, Jakujem velmi pekni moja kamarada.
Well, I hope he gets in trouble like I got in trouble for saying things about Poprad.
No, we're not going there. It's a new year. Let's not go there. lots of stuff going on. We've got to start with, I'm going to cry now.
Oh, hang on. Have we got a list?
We have got a list.
Are we supposed to be doing a show? I thought we were just having a chat.
I've got it this week even.
Oh, God. Hang on a minute. I can get tens of thousands of kilometres away to Queensland, and I can't get a message to Blighty. Marvellous.
I've got it here. I just unhomed it. I hadn't bothered to look at it. Because it starts...
Well, let's prepare.
Oh, it starts with Eric massaging his own ego.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Eventually it does. This is only...
We've done really well.
I used to work there.
We've done really well, boys and girls. We've done 6.5 minutes without an argument. That's a pretty good result.
It's a lazy person.
We've done really well. Anyway.
Don't blame me.
Why? I've got to blame somebody.
I'm an innocent bystander. I'm still new. I'm still learning. I can't be blamed for anything. I've still got a caveat.
You lady.
Right, anyway. On the 30th of December, Lee, Rach, take note. The greatest radio station in the world ever, the biggest commercial radio station in the world ever, was shut down by some people. People. I will say no more. We should be reading out some of your messages, boys and girls, after we listen to the then general manager of Radio Luxembourg. His name was John Catlett. And he made this speech 26 minutes before the station closed, and that was the 30th of December, 1992.
Radio Luxembourg playing the music. The only way, the best way. It's not all over yet. 26 minutes to go on this, our final broadcast, making history. Time now for a few words from our general manager, Mr. John Catlett.
Thanks very much, Mike. Perhaps it's a good time for me to remind all of our listeners that Radio Luxembourg and what it is today is not simply the fine team of presenters that you've been hearing tonight and on the documentary that Mike Hollis and Chris Holmes put together that you've just listened to. Essential to this station are the technicians and engineers of CLT, the people at Astra who provide the signal sharp and clear, as well as those who are tonight providing the signal on the old 208, and those who have supported and helped the radio station both in Luxembourg and London for so many years, including some staff who gave tremendous years of service to the station. Josie Wampach, John G., Jill Rowe, Rodney Collins, Ted Bailey, Christine Robinson, Mike Knight, our program controller of the last 5 years, Jeff Graham, and Lisa Wade, who now manages the Lonely office in London. We also want to thank, in just this past couple of years, our advertising agency in London, Little Leighton Sobchak, the Muff Murfin Productions, who've helped produce our terrific jingles and also provided the merchandise that we've made available to our listeners. We have to apologize to so many listeners who've written in asking about QSL cards and T-shirts. We have many hundreds of requests, and the problem is no staff after today to respond to those. We thank the journalists who helped to publicize this radio station, the European Satellite Users Group and Eric Wiltshire, who've helped to promote satellite radio. It's a tremendous group, and perhaps we ought also to thank, apart from those many radio stations, television, cable systems, and satellite media services that have been carrying us this evening, thank our competitors who may hire some of us in the near future.
I'll see you for that.
I'm crying. I'm in tears. Ooh, I can't do it anymore. Oh, wonderful programme from Mike Hollis there. Little extract with John Catlett, the general manager of Radio Luxembourg, talking in 1992. And John actually wrote on Facebook, "Thanks for reminding me of that sad event 20 years ago tonight. Radio Luxembourg was truly the station of the stars."
That's lovely. I remember. Rach, would you have got it when you were in South Australia? I was born. Would you actually have been able to pick up Luxembourg?
Not in 92, no.
No, a bit young for Rach then, I think.
I don't know. I was pretty drunk that year, but
I think actually the shortwave radio used to get down to there, but that was a different story. Dan Johnson says about Radio Luxembourg, it was brilliant. A reminder that radio can be good. How true, Dan. How true. Mike Hollis, who was the man that was actually comparing that last hour, it must have been one hell of a job. I would not want it to have done that. Eric, it's been too long since I heard this, and it still brings a tear to my eyes. I agree, Mike. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, your mate from 208. Cliff Edwards says, "Hi, Eric. You must be so proud to be thanked by Mr. Catlett during that final show. Love your Station of the Stars jingles, by the way. Now you all know why we have jingles, Station of the Stars."
Now it makes sense.
Yes. You didn't know that?
I knew that.
No, I didn't.
You knew that. Oh, okay. Chris Moore says, "Hi, Eric. So many stars owe their careers to Luxie. They are all Luxie legends." Luxie. It was called Luxie. "They are all Luxie legends. And one of the greatest things I got from this was just one of my peers, absolute peers, Bob Stewart.
Who's, was that because he was at sea?
No, because he's one of the best radio presenters I've ever heard in the world. And Bob Stewart says, "Eric, did I ever say thank you for your fun input on those shows?" No. "I used to look forward to your phone calls. Of course you could never win. I had control of the mic, an unfair and great advantage. Bob, all I'm going to say to you is I've learnt from the master. I have learnt from the master. Because now, Lee, would you like to count to 10?
Why?
Try it.
From the beginning or from the end?
Either way.
Backwards or forwards?
Whichever way you prefer.
Right. 10, 9, 8.
Now, you see, Bob, I have now learnt how to use the control of the mic, and I've cut Lee off. It was as simple as that.
Did you cut me off?
Yes.
While I was performing?
Yes. In your prime. Ian McGregor says, "Happy New Year to a special friend in Pop Rad. Saw your note about Luxie, a radio station ahead of its time. Has there ever been another?" Nope. All the best to you, Eric. That's from Ian. John Roth's Bernard, and you have to be a bit of a Luxie listener to understand this, says, "So tell me again, how do you spell Keynsham?" And there used to be an advert on Radio Luxembourg for a football pools type system. And the guy at the end of it used to spell this out. Keynsham. Keynsham. And that's exactly how the advert used to go. Sue Grant, "Luxie resulted in me listening to CDs until the internet came along. There was nothing to replace 208. It's DJs, it's fun, and what's more, great music. Seems to me whenever something is good on radio, they have to kill it. Bizarre."
So true. Mm.
Kind of why says, we've lost it so long, then.
Yeah, we're rubbish. No, because when the blighters tried to get rid of us, we found another way back.
And we should play that again sometime as well.
Oh, well, that one.
Yeah, that is really impressive. On the date, you can't just play it just because you feel like it. You've got to do
No, that's what I was going to say. If we take the date in February,
yeah,
which is coming up shortly, we could do that little thing for you. Just a couple of little bits.
It is one of the most emotional bits of broadcasting I've ever heard, Rachel.
Thank you.
But we'll talk about that in February.
Okay. Done deal.
Can I just say about Luxembourg?
Yeah.
That I don't know when did it show? 1992. So
30th of December 1992, midnight UK time.
When did it start? What year did it start? 68.
What? It lasted 59 years.
Really? What year did it start then?
We'll take 59 off of
40 in the 40s.
In the 30s.
Really? Luxembourg's been going since then?
It started in the 30s. The original thing was it came from France at one point. On long wave radio, and then moved over to 1440 AM in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg.
Wow.
Easy. I just remember it as a relatively young man in the 60s. I was probably less than 10. Mm. But I used to do the old trick of listening on a really awful little transistor radio. It was like rolling like thunder under the covers.
Yeah, it did. And,
the music was the blues when he said, I can remember it was like rolling like thunder under the covers.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Yeah, something like that. Was very good, very good. But yes, it then became a megawatt radio station.
A megawatt.
Huge. A megawatt. And I think one of the other nice stories I wouldn't mind sharing was that when I first came here as one of the first Brits or English guys that had ever been out to this part of Eastern Europe, as it was then, the guy who owns the nightclub called Surprise in Poprad. Hi, Peter.
I know it, yeah.
Yeah, you know the one. Yeah. He said to me, I remember you. Oh, God, what did I do wrong? And he then told the story about how he would go out to a farm in the old communist days and have an old valve radio that somebody cobbled together from him. And he'd throw a piece of wire out and he'd listen to Radio Luxembourg because it was banned. You weren't allowed to listen to it here.
Is that right? Really?
You would have been arrested.
Why was it banned?
Well,
because it was
from the other side. The other side of the Iron Curtain, as Mr. Churchill called it. And where the Iron Curtain ended was Austria. And so if you're over in this part of the world, you would be in serious doo-doo if you watched, in the early days of satellite, if you watched satellite television from the UK or somewhere, you would get into trouble. So people used to do this and hide. And Peter said to me that he would like me to come to his club and do a gig for him, which I did. But before everybody got there, he wanted me to play the Van Morrison track with all the radio stations, including Radio Luxembourg.
Oh, it's a beautiful track. Go on, Eric. Go on, do it.
No. And so what we
did... Ask him to do it, Rachel.
We turned the sound system up so loud that the glasses were vibrating on the bar. It was just awesome. And there was this another lovely fella, I'm sure he's no longer with us now. He was about 80 at the time. He came wandering into the building and he said, thank you so much. So I said, why, what have I done? And he bought me some flowers and a chocolate. I didn't understand the flowers routine in those days because I'm English and we don't do flowers, do we, Lee?
Well, it depends.
Well, we give them to the miss.
From man to man, you mean?
Yes.
Flowers.
No, we don't do that.
No, not really.
No, we're not into that. No.
Sometimes we give
each other...
Well, that's right. So I'm thinking, have I died or something?
Yeah.
And so anyway, to cut a long story short, this man said that in the old days, he was not allowed to listen to the Voice of America radio. And on RTI, we have some friends who were associated with offshore radio that are now in legitimate radio, and I'll say no more. And so we had the Voice of America programme, Border Crossings, on the station. And so I said, okay, that's good. And I said, what's so special? He said, well, well, this is translated, you understand. He said, tonight, I am going to drive round Poprad, and apparently he'd got some petrol for his car, had his son start it up for him, and he drove driving round and round Poprad with the windows open, with the radio on as loud as he could cope with it, with the voices of Voice of America from RTI blasting out just because he could do it.
And that is just so nice
that these guys sort of share these stories. And until you're actually living in the area, you can't understand what a dictatorial area it was.
I can imagine when I first came there, when I first went to Poprad.
Rachel, he didn't like me.
I hated him with a vengeance.
With venom.
If I could have rid the world of Eric Wiltshire, Eric Norman Wiltshire, I would have done it, ladies and gentlemen.
He didn't like
now
me.
I just sort of hate him a little bit.
Why didn't you like him?
Because he was a show-off, ladies and gentlemen.
Me?
He was a show-off.
Me?
He was. He turned up the first time I met Eric. This is what happened. Outside an airport, this black limousine drew up. This big blonde bombshell, who actually suffered from a bit of cellulite, actually, Eric, I didn't say at the time, but she did have a cellulite problem in other areas other than where you'd expect it.
Mm.
And he turned up, she stepped out of the vehicle, after Eric had stepped out with his dark glasses on and his pretend plastic big iron on his head. He fucked. Then two other blokes jumped out of the car, ran her across the road. And so I'm thinking, oh, that's a bit impressive. And I thought, well, who's that little bloke with the curly black hair? And so I checked it out. Turned out Eric Wiltshire. This girl was a singer from, where was she from? Australia?
South Africa.
Nobody had heard of her. She never did anything. She was, was she famous?
In Germany, very, very famous.
Very famous in Germany.
Yeah.
You have to remember this was in Luton.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff's famous in Germany.
All you're trying to do is get into that South Africans. No, you don't have kangaroos there, so you can't say. So that was it. And then over the years, as I progressed to go to Poprad and I'd see him walking down the street and I'd hide around corners to get out of his way, sometimes I'd nip into bars just to keep away from them. And he'd be going, there he is. He's coming down the road again now. And that was it. And over the years,
You've mellowed.
I've mellowed, and I started to understand his idiosyncrasies, or just his idiocy. And it's become a burgeoning, a blossoming friendship, isn't it? And if we weren't both committed to other women, I think me and Eric could be together.
I think we could. I mean, I just love your grey hair.
And I love your baldness.
Beautiful story.
Notice I got away with calling it grey for a change as well. anyway, shall we move on now?
Yeah, shall we move on? Shall we do some news?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. I'm so proud of this story.
Really?
I am unbelievably proud that two Slovak kids have returned to Bratislava this week. The guy who set up Radio Tatras International with me, a gentleman called Jan Talensky, who does listen to this, hello boss, after listening to our special on the plight of the Slovak children in the UK, was in Bratislava to see the children arrive home with their grandmother. And there's a reason why this all happened, because Jan listened to this and he never gets angry. Well, he shouts a bit, but he never gets angry. And
it's for our show.
He gets even. And it's a good thing to do. So Jan then contacted...
I know Mr. Talensky, Rachel, and what he's saying is right. Don't get angry, just gets even.
That's right. So Mr. Talensky then contacted the children's mother after hearing the RTI show and sponsored the family so that they could get professional legal counsel for the first time in 2 years. Ahead of this, the children were under threat of being adopted and removed from Slovakia permanently because they were in the UK at the time. Now, we are going to bring you, I promise you this, boys and girls, we are going to bring you a special program which actually starts tells you the whole story from outside the appeal court in London in December of 2012, right the way through into 2013. And at the time when the boys came back into the airport in Bratislava, into the home with the grandmother, their new home. And I can only tell you one thing. I was there with the grandmother, the family and the boys. Those boys were in seven heaven. They loved their grandmother beyond belief. They were running around happily, chatting, playing with toys, doing all the things that happy seven-year-olds would do. And, you know, I've got my own kids. I know what it's about. Those kids were unbelievably happy. And for the British Social Services to even think of taking them away from their family, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
Can I say something? It is. It really is. And we know. We've been quite closely involved with it. And this is a story that the powers that be in the UK. I'm not going to pin it down too preciously at the moment. But in simple terms, the powers that be in the UK didn't want talked about. Didn't want people to say anything.
Oh, they were trying everything to block it.
Absolutely, and we were on the story all the way through, and there were gagging orders, all sorts of things went on, and but the story itself has worldwide ramifications, and while it's been kept a secret in the UK, and that's the point, it's been kept a secret in the UK, questions about this story have been asked as far away as in India. It is such a scandalous thing that has gone on.
And I'll tell you what, Lee, I don't think the UK actually realises how much damage they are causing to the credibility of England or the UK in general, because it's the same here. I mean, I'm very lucky because I'm not one of those Brits that locks myself away. You know, 99.999 reoccurring of my friends in Slovakia are Slovak. I don't go and sort of sit and have a beer with the English guy down the road sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm treated like a Slovak. Mm-hmm. And as Lee knows, if you do that with Slovaks, they will actually they will adopt you. Is the best way I can put it. You know, you do get the warm clutch to the breast routine.
That's what Eric gets, Rachel.
Yeah, right.
Nobody else gets that.
You do, Mr. Banks, because I'll remind Rachel of you sitting there with young girls looking at you when you're having a beer in Pop Rad. Because Lee did some films, documentary films on Pop Rad, which were on air. People saw them and said, thank you very much for loving our country. They are like...
I clarified that with documentary films. My mind was going somewhere really not good.
Yes, I can imagine. Well, the outtakes are quite good. But the point is, the Slovaks warm that way around, but what they're not doing is looking at England in the same positive light anymore, because
you can't do.
They absolutely can't. And on the TV here, the UK has been lambasted for it. Absolutely.
Well, they're
lambasted.
They're kiddies, and you know, they should be lambasted for it. It's a disgrace.
Absolutely. We'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Brad Farson. You make that milkshake.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world. The Station of the Stars.